This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Most of us at some point in time in our lives get this feeling of being stuck, and it's very interesting when we get to that place. It seems that every part of our life is really feeling stuck. Well, this is actually a mental phenomenon that is a common plight, actually, to the human brain when it's unclear which decisions we want to make. Interesting topic. I chose it for a very specific reason. Welcome and thank you for joining me. I'm your host, Medical Intuitive Carol Reitberger, and today's show is about what is I'm stuck really trying to tell you. And what I'm going to be doing throughout the show is sharing where in the brain we actually get stuck, and then also sharing some ideas on how you and me can become unstuck. This is a great time in the energy right now where we're really getting into the time of closure. It's a time for us to get unstuck. We would like to just kind of rest on our laurels and say, okay, I've been asking for this for a long time. Let's get this and move on, and I'm no longer stuck. But the reality of it is that when we feel stuck, what that really is telling us that it's time for us to step in, do an intervention with ourselves, and to be able to find the answers that we're looking for or gather more information. So that's the topic of today's show. Very interesting with the closure. I thought it's perfect timing for it. So I'm going to be doing that, and I'm also going to be taking your calls. So if you have a question for me about today's topic, if you're feeling stuck, or about your health, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in U.S. and Canada, and international callers as well. Just dial your international calling code and then 877-230-3062. I just posted again on my website the Light of the Body four-part course that I did a few months ago. So if you want to learn more about the light body and its components, that human energy system, or the aura as it's called, the chakras, and how this highly developed, sophisticated communication network really works, then I invite you to go to my website, www.ritberger.com, and check out my Light of the Body four-part online course that's now available for purchase. In this course, I discuss the dynamics of the light body, also what the language of energy from the light body can tell you about your physical state and also about your psychological state, the functions of the chakra system and how the chakras work. It's a very energy information caring system, so I talk about that. Also, the role that your personality plays and how it affects you physically, mentally, emotionally, and even energetically. And then I put in the last part of the four-part series, how to apply energy techniques for improving a lot of the physical problems that we have that are really a reflection of congestion or protrusion or blockage or even depletion in this light body. And some of the problems include pain and illness. It's a very comprehensive overview of the energy body, and then each part of the course actually has a very detailed workbook. In fact, it's more like a book on the light body broken into four parts that you can use to follow along and then also to capture your thoughts. So if you want to know more about the light body, you want to know more about this online four-part class that I'm offering, then I'll just go to my website, www.ritberger.com. You can order it right there online. And then what you can do is you can just listen to it in the at your leisure. If you go to my homepage, then what you'll do is you'll notice on the moving banner a slide that says the light body. Just click on that, and it'll take you right to the information page. And then also you can order it online, and it comes with this very detailed workbook, more like a book, and then just all of the information on the light body. It's something that is very near and dear to my heart and something that I really have taken a lot of years to really study it, first of all, for my own awareness, because when I died and came back and my sight was changed and somebody said to me, oh, I think you see the aura. Honestly, I swear, I didn't even know how to spell aura, let alone what all of the components were and how it works. So this light body program that I wrote in this quasi book that's a part of it is something that really goes into a lot of detail. I think if you're interested, if you're an energy worker just interested in it, you will find it of value. So again, www.ritberger.com. I chose the topic of today's show specifically because I found in the end of last year, but more so this entire year, in my readings and also in the presentations that I do, people are always asking me that what can they do to get unstuck. They keep saying, I feel stuck, and I'm not even sure what I'm stuck around. I'm not even sure what part of my life is stuck. I feel stuck in my job. I feel stuck in my health. I feel stuck in creating the relationship that I'm really looking for. I am just plain stuck. And it's a very uncomfortable place, and they feel like they just want to move on with their life. I know when I hit that place, it's like, okay, start digging deep, Carol, and see if you can find that area in your life that you're stuck. And once you do, then don't procrastinate. Let's get going on it. So what I ask myself, and then also people ask, is, you know, am I stuck spiritually, meaning energetically, or my own spiritual growth, physically, mentally, emotionally? And that's literally the line of questioning that we need to go through and ask ourselves, you know, where are you feeling stuck? Are you feeling stuck in your thought patterns? Are you feeling stuck in your emotional patterns? Are you dealing with something in your body that you've been dealing with for months or years? And then also, where are you in your spiritual growth? Are you feeling like you've reached a plateau and it's time to take the next step to bring that spiritual evolution back into that movement state that it needs to be? So what I tell people, and I tell myself, but what I tell people is that really what happens is that we really aren't stuck in all of those areas. We're just literally stuck in one area, and that's that we're stuck in mentally. Now, I know that sounds strange, but because it feels like everything else. But actually, when I say that to someone, that you're just stuck in your patterns of thinking, there's this big sigh of relief, because they realize that by doing that, all they have to do is look at their thoughts, look at their patterns of thinking, look at their habits, look at those comfort zones, and then move forward. And then also I share with them that the more that you say you're stuck, the more that you're actually programming your brain to believe that it's stuck, meaning that it's going to replay that mantra over and over again. And even if you get clarity in the pattern for a period of time is that I'm stuck, I'm stuck, I'm stuck, I'm stuck, even if you find an awareness or you can see kind of the light at the end of the tunnel, that brain immediately wants to go back to that comfort zone. It wants to go back into feeling stuck because it is comfortable. And it isn't that you're lazy. It just means that you have just literally programmed your brain. So feeling stuck can tell us a lot of things about ourselves. And the first thing it's telling us is that we're procrastinating. But why are we procrastinating? This is something that I ask myself regularly, because I see myself as a doer. I see myself as, you know, really being able to handle many things at one time. And yet I found myself procrastinating in certain areas. And there are two things came up when I asked myself, why am I procrastinating? One is the things that I was working on really took a lot of time and energy and focus, and I really needed to concentrate on what I was trying to move forward. But yet I was still trying to multitask. I was still trying to, you know, do the readings. I was still doing the downloads. I was still doing the writing. I was researching and everything. And literally my brain was overwhelmed. And my pattern of behavior is when I get overwhelmed and I'm multitasking too much and I get stressed, my brain goes back into that old pattern of procrastinating around the things that I can't give the attention to that I really need to focus. The second part of the procrastination is that it basically is telling me I just don't have enough information to move forward. So in a lot of ways, procrastination really serves a purpose, because that procrastination, if we dig deeper, says, well, you don't have all the information, and I recognize that by nature I'm not a procrastinator, then that's an awareness for me to go and find the information that I'm looking for, and to do that on a daily basis so I can feel like I'm moving forward. So it's the multitasking, and it's not having an information. So where in the brain does this really show up? Well, where it really shows up in the I'm feeling stuck is it shows up in that limbic or the emotional decision part of the brain, in the temporal part of the part of the brain that basically is confused. It doesn't know what to do. The information it's gathering isn't triggering it into action. It just feels like maybe it's feeding an old pattern. Maybe it's triggering in fear or in insecurity. And what it's doing is it's locking down. That locking down is telling you that you're stuck. It's not going to, you can't make a decision that you're not clear on. And if you're not clear on it and you don't make a decision, then the brain procrastinates. Or worse yet, what it does is it repeats the pattern, because the brain's job is to be a problem solver. And so what it does is, if you don't know where to go, then it's going to take you just exactly where you've been over a long period of time. And then once you get that repetition going, then an awareness comes in. It goes, why did I just do that? What am I doing here? And then that heightens the awareness, and then where it's lets you know that you're just dealing with something again. Fear, insecurity, not feeling confident, lots of things. And I'm going to talk more about that. Sometimes it really is better to do nothing. Now, that doesn't mean literally saying to yourself, well, I'm going to do nothing because I'm stuck. It is going, I'm going to do nothing until I can get clear. So I'm going to go over and I'm going to do something else to give me that clarity that I need. So again, you're better off by saying, I'm not stuck, I'm not stuck, I'm not stuck, instead of saying, I'm stuck, I'm stuck, I'm stuck. Because what we want to do is we want to change that program of the brain. The way the brain works is that you're better off stuck than to make the wrong decision. Feeling stuck is really the result of us not trusting ourselves, because we've either been told over and over again that we make the wrong decisions, or we remember all of the decisions that we've made that were wrong and didn't really turn out the way that we thought they should. So where in reality we probably, if we look at that process, and a lot of the patterns we repeat around feeling stuck as adults are patterns that were really initiated and set into our line of thinking when we were between birth and age 13, and primarily between 9 and 13, when we are the most emotionally vulnerable to other people's input. So what we really, what we're doing is we're repeating the patterns because we didn't have the right enough information, call it age, whatever, to be able to make the decision. So as a result, we question ourselves. We have a tremendous amount of self-doubt, and if that self-doubt becomes even stronger, now we've got self-judgment. So when we feel stuck, it can mean that the brain is really trying to ensure that we don't actually make that wrong decision again, based on what other people think, based on our conditioning, and then also based on what we don't think is right for us. It's interesting. I found also, as I really started stepping back and looking at this, that feeling stuck in a lot of ways makes us feel ordinary, that it takes the pressure off of us to have to do something different or to stand out in the crowd. And if feeling stuck is around not being clear in our sense of responsibility, then we'll avoid responsibility. So feeling stuck isn't that we're, not in this particular case, not that we're afraid to move forward, we're just avoiding moving forward. We just want to honestly be like everybody else. That is literally our conditioning from us as children, from the fact that we start to become behaviorally compliant. So that uniqueness, that authentic aspect, that self-assured aspect of ourselves literally gets buried behind all that mental and emotional minutia, to the point where we just literally someday in our life, when we want to break free, we feel stuck. Feeling stuck, as I mentioned, is also telling us we don't have enough information, or we don't have the right information to move forward to make a decision. That usually requires that we ask questions, and we can ask questions of friends, we can ask questions of family. That doesn't always work well. In all honesty, I'm sure a lot of you as listeners out there are shaking your head, yeah, Carol, that's really true. But what it is that we need to have that time to make the right decision. So it means coming in and gathering the information from different perspectives, but not perspectives of people who are an integral part of our life in that impressionable time between 9 and 13, those friends, the family members and everything that really want us to stay the way that we are. So sometimes we have to step out and we have to connect with someone who really may not know us that we can talk to. I mean, a lot of people as a medical intuitive book readings with me because they want to know what their pattern is. And that's where the energy field comes in, and it really bypasses those mental patterns. And it literally reveals not only where what thoughts are mentally keeping someone stuck, it maps it beautifully in the body and can tell me how it's affecting their stress level, the emotional distress, where in their physical body they're carrying that stress, old patterns of behavior, is there sadness, disappointment. So the energy body has a tremendous amount of information that's below the threshold of that conscious mind, that awakened consciousness that we rely on every day. So it really comes in and just kind of lays it out. Feeling stuck is also telling us that we're not committed to what we should be doing. The key word is should. It's alerting us that we're procrastinating because we really don't want to do what we should do. There's an interesting aspect I found in my study of personality behavioral psychology is that in human nature, it's very, very consistent. We don't procrastinate around the things that we love to do. We only procrastinate and feel stuck when it comes to doing things that others want us to do or that we, quote, should do. Feeling stuck tells us that we're caught up in old repetitious patterns of thinking and that we're recycling old emotional patterns. Mentally, it's telling us, again, not enough clarity. Emotionally, it's telling us that we're afraid of opening up those old emotional hurts because we're going to feel vulnerable. And if the pattern of thinking is that if I open up and I share where I am emotionally, then I'm going to be vulnerable. And then the brain goes into the archives and says, oh, well, when you were emotionally distressed, then, and you shared that, then you were emotionally vulnerable, and look at what happened. Then that look at what happened then sets off those old emotional patterns, and then it basically locks us down and we feel stuck. So when we go and we look at feeling stuck emotionally, what it's really saying to us is we're afraid. And if we can step back and take a deep breath, that actually fills the brain up with a lot of oxygen-rich blood. It clears out the cobwebs. It brings in new life, new blood, new chi, new life force, call it whatever, into the brain. And all of a sudden, the brain takes a big sigh, and it opens up. And interestingly enough, chemically in the brain, we don't feel stuck anymore. We're not in that fight or flight. Feeling stuck is also revealing that we don't feel confident with ourselves or about ourselves, that we're lacking that self-confidence and that self-assurance. Maybe it can be telling us that we're frozen in fear because our insecurities are actually overriding our good judgment. So as a result, there's where feeling stuck has some real value because it's really saying to you in that moment of that fear is, do you really want to step forward the way that you've been doing? Or do you want to just step back, take a deep breath, think about it for a moment, look at it emotionally, see where that fear is, what are you afraid of? And then go in and ask yourself, you can ask yourself when you're feeling stuck, what is the best thing for me? And I use the word what because I find that that really triggers into action that left hemisphere of the brain, the part of the brain that views things differently, physically, tangibly. You know, if you can't see it, hear it, touch it, taste it, smell it from that left brain, it does not exist. And then also that logical, reasoning, analytical part of the brain that really is the part of the brain that becomes very fearful that we're going to make the wrong decision. So when we take a deep breath and we ask ourselves, what am I afraid of? The right brain is like this knight in shining armor, comes in and gives us all these possibilities and literally goes over into that kind of energetically and psychologically into that left brain and says, you know, can we find what really is causing you to feel stuck? What are your patterns of thinking? And it is amazing what a good deep breath will do. Also, it's an indicator that we're worrying about something that hasn't been identified yet. You know, as humans, we are naturally going to suffer from uncertainty. And when we get caught up in that uncertainty, we're going to worry. And when we feel stuck, what we're actually doing is, it's not just the worry, it's the fact that we're worrying about what we're worrying about when we may not even know what we're worrying about, but we're caught in that worry loop. And what that is saying is, when I'm feeling stuck, it's saying to you that you're not being able to control the situation, or in some cases control people in the in your lives that we would like to, especially when we feel stuck. We go into that left brain goes into that micromanaging state, and we realize all of a sudden we can't control anything except for our own thoughts. So what feeling stuck is saying there, it's saying to us, stop worrying about what you can't control and focus on what you can control and take the steps to move forward in that area. And in doing so, what it's going to do is it's going to be a part of this dynamics of this energy that we have with closure. So feeling stuck in many ways is saying to us, you don't have closure. You're wanting closure. You're needing closure. You're desiring closure, both mentally and emotionally, but you're not feeling like you can really go in and take control of what you need to do. One of the wonderful ways that I found works really well is that when I'm feeling stuck, especially around people, and, you know, I get into that micromanaging and, of course, experience it at home. I mean, that's where we usually experience it the most. Poor Bruce, my husband, can always tell when I get into that out of control feeling stuck, because I immediately start micromanaging every minute, including every minute of his time. And he'll usually say to me, oh, are you feeling stuck? And I used to get very defensive with that. Now I realize, oh, then I must be multitasking. I must be trying to do too many things. I don't have enough information. I'm not focusing enough. And rather than becoming defensive, which is my old pattern, then what I would do is step back and go, oh, I need to go and take a deep breath, clear the cobwebs out of my brain, go in and look at what is on my task list that I can control, meaning I can start and get completion in a short period of time, and that's what I focus on, and then all of a sudden, I'm not feeling stuck. What feeling stuck is revealing is that we actually have a battle going on between our head and heart. The heart may be saying one thing, and the head is leading us based on old patterns to something else. One of the best ways to get rid of that energetic congestion or blockage or protrusion is basically, again, take a deep breath. The minute you do, your heart wins over. I have a very dear friend who is a therapist that always reminds me, Carol, emotions trump logic. Listen and follow your heart. Even though I'm a logical decision maker, when you get into that battle, Carol, take a deep breath. Listen to the heart, because it's going to open up that right brain. You're going to get a lot of possibilities, and it's going to stop that logical pattern. I thought, wow, emotions trump logic. When I feel stuck, it's like emotions trump logic. That's one of my mantra. Also, when I look at it energetically as a medical intuitive, what feeling stuck is telling us in the chakra system is there's an energetic conflict between the first chakra, which is our survival human ego chakra, the third chakra, which is our self-confidence, self-assurance, and personal power chakra, the fifth chakra, which is our self-expression, and then also the seventh chakra, which is the expression of our free will. So energetically, it's a battle between the first, the third, the fifth, and the seventh. And the first, the third, and the fifth chakra are all masculine energy, and what that's doing is those chakras are saying to us, you know, pull up your bootstraps, get in there and be a warrior, you know, take numbers, do whatever you need to do, just make something happen. And the logic kicks in, pattern kicks in, old conditioning kicks in. Now we're running toward what we should do rather than what we truly love to do. You will not feel stuck in anything that you love to do. You only feel stuck in what you should do. What I want to do is I want to jump in and I want to take a caller before I go on the commercial break. So, hi, Deb from Salt Lake. How can I help you, sweetie?
Hi. I think I'm doing good. I'm fighting between whatever's coming up, but I'm fearful about even calling in. I'm fearful about everything. I've got so much fear coming up, and I don't know where my responsibility for, I want to clear my own stuff, but then I don't know as an empath, am I going into family fears and trying to clear something that I might not be able to clear? That's the thing. I don't want to just ignore it because this has come up a little bit before, but not like this. I took work off yesterday because I just was paranoid about everything.
Yes. The thing is, while we're in this place of closure, which started April 23rd and will go through June 2nd, that field of consciousness that we call group consciousness or mass consciousness, that is literally brewing with fears and insecurities. Not only yours, sweetie, or mine, just it's a place where the field is knowing that it needs to clear because we want to move into enlighten more effortlessly. So it's like the bottom of the barrel. In fact, as a fisherman, one of the things that happens in the spring is many of the real high mountain lakes here in California turn over. And when they turn over, that deep, deep cold water at the bottom turns over to the top. And it literally is a churning. That's what's happening in the field, sweetie. So the difficulty is, and why we feel fearful and our own insecurities are coming up, not knowing where to go when we're empathic, we are getting bombarded with that.
Oh, I'm getting a lot of that. And I think it didn't help that yesterday I was going, tapping on my face going, I'm a pushover. And then it just went into all these issues about courage. And then it went down into a memory or a feeling of being in the, and I don't know if it's my memory or someone else's, of feeling, I can't even find it now. So that maybe that's good.
Yeah. That is good. You're absolutely right, because being empathic in this time frame, especially, sweetie, things are very, very intense. And the one thing that I, when I work with empaths, I always say to them, when you get to a place where you're feeling anxiety that's got your heart racing and you're breathing really shallow and rapid, then take a deep breath and ask yourself, is this mine? Is it theirs?
I've tried to do that, and I can't separate it.
Okay, so what that is saying to you is that, yes, it is being triggered by others, but your lake is turning over within your own consciousness. You're going down into that personal power, that third chakra. You're going into that courage part of you. You're having an opportunity to identify, even if it's just one place in your life that you have a pattern that you don't feel self-assured or self-confident, work on that one pattern, sweetie. The issue with the energy is it's so overwhelming. It's like a flood. It comes and it goes. It's like the rain that drops 15 inches in a short period of time, overwhelms, floods everything, and then all of a sudden recedes. That's the energy.
I take flower remedies.
Yep.
Okay. Now, so I don't know if that's helping or.
It is helping.
Okay.
So, do you also do, I'm going to have to go back into, because I'm in the same place. A lot of us are in the same place. So, do you do any rescue remedy?
Yes, that's what I took yesterday, and it was the fear
perfect.
And panic part of it, the rock.
Perfect.
Ever since.
Okay. So let's go in and let's, I'm going to go in and we're going to do this, first of all, energetically. I'm going to map you specifically. This is you, sweetie.
Okay.
What you're doing is you have a thread. It's like an invisible thread that looks like a bungee cord that's hooked in your first chakra around survival. And the other end of it is hooked in your seventh chakra, which is your higher self. That's that free will. And you, sometimes when I can feel you energetically, like you just did, that bungee cord relaxes. It's like, okay, I can visualize I've got this cord anchored in my human survival, and yet I want to go into that spiritual part that's going to free me from that. But it's call upon your spiritual work, and I can find it relax. Then when I go in and I talk about survival, I can go into some childhood things, not big bad boogeyman things, mm-hmm. but some things that you just, from your background and stuff, that you've made some decisions that others have been very poignant and very straightforward to let you know that probably wasn't the best decision. You're fighting yourself. So one foot's in the physical world, survival. The other one's in the spiritual world. And I'm going to give you a visualization. You're straddling a picket fence, sweet.
Oh, okay. See, and I have no sense of that. I only have sense of a second chakra issue and a memory of being, and every time I go to say it, I can't say it. And it was with
That's
me this
okay.
morning, so I guess I'm not supposed to say it.
But the thing is that what it's doing in that first chakra, that bungee cord, it's going into the second chakra, which is human emotions. A lot of the emotions that we've worked on, we're digging deep, sweetie. We're trying to turn our own lake over to bring it to the surface to finally get it done. You can't put it to words because it's got too many kind of like tentacles. So I'm going to give you a picture of it.
Okay.
The second chakra, the issue, the memory that you're working with, when you first touch it, is like a closed fist. The minute you touch it, you've got five aspects to it. Where do you start? What do you do? How do you put it into words? Or you're not really clear on exactly, you know what the situation is, what the memory is, but how do I do this? Where do I start? Then what you do is take a deep breath and tell yourself you want to start in letting this go, bringing it forward into words for you. Journal it, write it down, burn it, whatever you need to do. Put it into words, practice putting it into words until you get a very short snippet, and then hold ritual and then get rid of it.
Okay, so it is something that's with me, that's keying me into family fears.
That's exactly it. And do you have a sister?
Yeah, I have two sisters.
Okay. You don't feel the youngest, is that true?
I'm not close to the youngest.
Right.
Sister.
Are you concerned about her?
Well, if I am, I don't know it.
Okay.
It would be a subconscious thing or something I'm not aware of.
Have you, when you were a child, did you try to protect her?
Yeah, I got hit by a bus trying to find her because she wasn't where I couldn't
find her. There's what you're working on, honey.
Okay.
It's that sense of responsibility, also that sisterly obligation, feeling like you are the one that made the mistake because of da-da-da-da-da. That's the emotion. That's hard to put into words, honey, because that's been buried over so many different experiences and so many different emotions that you're down deep into that. So I'm going to help you out with this.
Okay.
So we go in with me, and I'm going to be there with you. You're not alone, and you've got a great big giant guardian angel that's been with you from the day that you graced this earth. Call that angel in right now. That angel is androgynous and feminine form. Feel the wings come around that second chakra. Feel them come around your shoulder. And the emotion that I'm picking up is that you feel like you are tremendously disappointed in yourself. Is that true?
Oh, really?
You couldn't help her. You couldn't protect her. You couldn't do
what you did. Nothing really happened to her. She just wasn't where she...
But you were still disappointed. You were disappointed in yourself. You were disappointed in her. You were trying to do everything. So I'm going to tell you, that's what feels like.
Being a little mother, I think.
Yes. So what? But that was your charter. That's your soul agreement.
Oh, she doesn't. I don't feel like people let me.
I know. There's the second finger of the thing that we're touching, my love. So,
and yet, I don't think they should. Maybe they I shouldn't mother them. Maybe, you know, but I just was disappointed that she wasn't.
That's your nature, honey. You care about people. You want people to, you know, grow personally. You want them to evolve spiritually. You have a deep connection with humankind. That's part of the dilemma of this field where there's all of this tension and fear. It's hard to separate your fear from others because you connect with them so deeply.
Oh.
And as a result, that becomes yours because it's difficult to sort through it. So what if I may offer, just spend some time And write down the word disappointment and just let your mind free and let your guardian angel help you. Just download anything that comes up around the word disappointment. It may be a lot. It may not, sweetie. But if you can download anything that comes up around disappointment, disappoint with yourself, disappoint with other people, disappoint with humanity because we don't love each other. We don't care the way that a mother's love does, whatever it may be, sugar, put that up.
Okay.
Put it down on paper, see it in front of you, and then that will clear that one finger, and that will take away that sense of obligation or confusion around responsibility, and then you go to the next level, and it will get easier. The fact you can't put it into words says that you're already processing it. You're already letting go of the emotion. It's just that one little lingering, as I touch you, disappointment in yourself. That's it.
Well, thank you, because I couldn't get there. I couldn't get to that. I kept thinking, I bet she'll see something I'm not seeing, because I didn't have any clue that it was that.
Absolutely, and that's what kind of sucks the life out of you. It's what makes you get confused about, do you step in? And you're not trying to save anybody, honey. You're not trying to be their servant. You're trying to be of service to them.
I'm and trying to be at one with them and in cooperation, and I don't feel I get that. I feel that I get response like, I don't need a helicopter. Well, I don't need a, leave me alone. I don't want to, there's not, it's almost, does it threaten them in some way?
No, no, what it is that you do the outreach. That's who you are, honey. I mean, gosh, I would hate to take that away from you because that's your heart. And what it is that you give the outreach, but we cannot be held accountable for what somebody does with it. If they're not in a place where our outreach is being honored or even they're being aware of it, we're going to get hurt. And part of the process is to not stop being of service. It's to say, some will, some won't, so what? Just keep being
okay.
Who you
so
are.
I need to just understand, stop being disappointed in that.
Absolutely. Stop being disappointed in yourself and in them, sweetie. There's your disappointed word.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, it's okay if that's not for them. And in some ways, I'm starting to feel relieved because I feel tired. So it's kind of like if they don't need me, then I feel relieved actually now.
Exactly. And one of the things that was taught in the mystery schools the very first day, when a student came into the mystery schools, and it didn't make any difference which mystery school it was, the very first thing that they were taught that day, literally, is that you are responsible to speak the truth of your light. You are not to be held accountable for what others do with that light.
So I can outreach in a gentle way, but then stop being so disappointed when they don't.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right. Just recognize that what you've done is you've come across their paths at that moment to present them an opportunity, a different way to see things.
And could it be that I'm starting to understand this and that's why it's clearing? Is because
absolutely.
I don't... Okay.
Absolutely, because you're beginning to recognize in that second chakra how much of your life has been devoted to feeling disappointed in people or in them. That's why your sister came forward. She's not a bad person. She just happened to be a very integral part in your life to help you recognize the work that you do, to recognize this conversation you and I are having today, for us to be able to move into the place you, me, and every one of the listeners who are on listening to this today and who will listen to it in my archives, to basically say, I'm here to be who I am, authentically speak who I am. Some will, some won't, so what? But I'm not going to change me. And you're part of this whole turning over of this consciousness, sweetie, and sometimes it just becomes very overwhelming, and that's where a lot of us are. I taught a class in Minnesota this weekend, and oh my gosh, I wish you were there, sweetie, because you would be absolutely amazed how the same words were uttered and the same emotion came up. Now, don't want to take away your uniqueness, but to let you know, you're not alone, honey. We're all
feeling
this.
I feel better then.
Yeah. You are not alone. You know, there's a whole bunch of us that are doing this. So just look at the word disappointment, allow it to come through. And then what it'll do is it'll release that emotional hold and it'll start to transmute. And you're not being able to put it into words is perfect.
Well,
it's not that you couldn't. It's perfect because you've done the work. Yoo-hoo! Gold stars. All right. Well, thank you, my love. You have a wonderful day. You feel much lighter to me. So
thank you. Your help.
My pleasure. All right. What I want to do is I do want to take a very quick commercial break. I'm going to come back and I'm going to take some of the calls that are still there and maybe even share another suggestion of what we can do, you and me and everyone else, to become unstuck.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
What color is your personality? Red, orange, yellow, or green? Now at Reitberger.com, Dr. Carol Reitberger, an international leader in the field of personality psychology, brings you everything you need to know about your personality. With Carol's innovative insights and personality assessment, you can finally live the life you desire, create more satisfying relationships, enjoy better health, and much more. So act now. Discover your personality color and find out about the personality colors of the people in your life, all at Reitberger.com. What you learn will change your life forever.
Ernest Hemingway said, "Always stop when you're going good and when you know what will happen next. If you do that every day, you will never be stuck. Always stop while you're going good and don't think about it or worry about what needs to be done until you start the next day." Wise words. Welcome back. If you're just joining me, the topic of today's show is, what is feeling stuck really trying to tell you? And how can we really use different techniques to be able to free ourselves from this debilitating mental state? So very, very interesting topic, one that I know I've certainly been experiencing and then started to realize that, oh, my gosh, I'm trying to do too many things at one time. And what that was doing was mental overload. And then I felt like I wasn't really moving anything forward, and I felt like I wasn't getting the closure and that I was looking for, that completion, that sense of satisfaction. I was doing a lot, but I never really had that personal satisfaction. And when I changed my ways and realized that, do things that are important, start my day off with my important things, even tackle the things that I don't like to do the most to get them off my list, wow, it changes everything. And then I'm not feeling stuck. So what I talked about before were just kind of energetically what's trying to tell you. And one of the things I want to do is just in between calls, I do want to take my callers. But one of the things I want to start out by sharing is that one of the best ways to start the process of not feeling stuck is set a deadline. And I'm not talking about a soft deadline, a wishy-washy deadline. I found myself especially as an author, that I can set a soft deadline and then everything else gets in the way, all those urgent issues, and then I hit that soft deadline and OMG, I'm not any further ahead. That's one of the nice things when I commit to someone that I'm going to have a book done or I'm going to have a workbook done or a download done, and I share with someone else and I put that date in somebody else's mind, then I feel like I need to be committed to hit that. Because that way I know that if they ask me if it's done, I can say yes, that makes me feel good. So when we talk about the hard deadline, we're talking about the one that inspires us to get up and get going every day. For example, I was working with someone this weekend in a class that I did in Minnesota, and we were talking about the fact of a job and how she's felt stuck in this job for the last 10 years. And I you know, just kind of looked at her and go, wow, that's a long time to feel stuck. She said, I know, but I have real good retirement. And it was a job that was easy. It allowed me to take care of my elderly parents. And she went on and on. And what she did is she listed to me all of the wonderful reasons why she stayed in that job, meaning all of the wonderful things that that job was offering her to be able to do the things in her life that she really desired to do and that she felt that she needed to do because it made her feel good. And yet mentally, she felt stuck. So I said to her, so are you going to retire? And she said, well, I am. And I said, did you set a date? And she goes, oh, yes, but I'm not going to tell you. I said, oh, no, it won't work if you don't tell me. She said, oh, no, I really don't want to tell you because I may back out. And I said, well, I really don't care if you back out, but let's just put it out there that you're going to quit. And she says, well, I'm going to quit the end of the year. December is going to be, you know, my last month, and I've got it all planned on how I'm going to do my exit clause and what I'm going to say around Halloween to let them know that I'm going to do this because I don't want it to be the last minute. I mean, she put out a whole plan in front of her, and yet she had so many trepidations about doing this. And I said, honey, what are you? You've got this great plan. This job has been absolutely wonderful for you. But you feel stuck and you're always got a plan B that can work for you, but don't make your plan B that you're going to stay because you're ready to move on. And I said, what are you looking forward to? And she said, time for me. And I said, and what does that look like? And she said, well, I've always wanted to quilt. I've always wanted to do this and that. And I love gardening and I love this and I love that. And I never have time. I said, that's why you're going to retire. That's why you're going to leave your job. And all of a sudden she said to me, wow. I mean, that was really a good job, wasn't it, Carol? And gosh, it gave me all the, and completely turned it around. I said, are you feeling stuck? No. Are you feeling afraid? No. And so what she did is she heard herself say that deadline. She triggered in all the plan. And you know what? I can't wait to hear from her, to hear how this exit plan happens on Halloween and what she's going to be doing in December when she's finally done taking that time to do the things that she's been wanting to do for a long time. She's going to recognize, as she did, she really wasn't stuck. She just needed a plan. She put it in place, and then she went ahead and executed it. But I want to jump in right now. Let's take Diane from Edmonton. Hi, sweetie.
Hello.
Hi, how can I help you?
Well, I have this resume of, like, mental health agencies that's longer than the amount of jobs I've worked. And that sounds horrible, but it's not
it
as
doesn't.
Bad as I make it. But I got a sense of humor over it, but it's been really difficult for myself. And mm-hmm. Your show, I just appeared out of, you know, I've been praying to the angels and stuff, and it just sound exactly where I'm at. And I seem to have, like, I've said it for a long time that I have this war with myself about getting better. And
yeah.
It's kind of like, well, what does that mean? So I'm afraid of getting well because I'm afraid of feeling good because I've gone into these bipolar kind of whatever. Or
right.
I feel like I'm going to do something that I really want and it's not going to last. And then I'm afraid of, I was so positive 3 mm-hmm. years ago, and I tried to change a lot of things in my life, and I felt like what I really wanted to do was do writing
mm-hmm.
and going to school, and I changed anyways, it's too long a story. I have to write a book about it. But anyway.
I love your sense of humor, sweet.
Thank you. Anyway, so, you know, for a moment, I thought suicide might be peaceful. And
yes.
That scared me so much. And so there's kind of all those fears. And then I'm a fear of loving something, I think. I get confused.
Yep.
If I feel like I'm loving something, it feels like it's wrong. So I have these right and wrong confusions, and grew up Catholic, like, you know, I felt like I had to be perfect or I was going to go to hell. And then,
yep.
Anyways, I had a message
yep.
from God that I should write a book. And then I was wondering if that was true, because in another bipolar thing, I thought something else. And like, so I'm confused about illusions and delusions. And
Right.
And it can be wearing, and I'm tired of being worn out.
Well, absolutely. And the fact is, sweetie, is that, you know, in many cases, when I work with people, I would say to someone, let's go in and let's find out what your secondary gain is for not feeling good. There's, and in many cases, we're not even aware that there's a secondary gain. It may mean that we'll have to step up to responsibility. In some people's case, that's not yours. You're not that way. So I could say all these things that I might say to other people, but the reality of it, honey, is that you're dealing with a chemistry imbalance in the brain that has its good days and its bad days. And in this particular case, there isn't a secondary gain. It isn't that you are hanging on to something because you're really fearful. It's because the chemistry of your brain gets in such a way that it's chemically out of balance. The neurotransmitters are, the endorphins are, the neuropeptides are. And as a result, you're going to have the days where you feel those times where you could really be able to work through things. And then other days, sweetie, in the chemistry of your brain, it's difficult to even get out of your way. So it is difficult to figure out what is real and what is a delusion based on the chemistry. So in part of this process with all this, you know, these mental health records that you have you actually been diagnosed, sweetie?
Yes, I have a whole list.
Okay.
Why don't you
tell me what that list is?
Well, the one that hits for me, I think, is borderline personality, where I don't know how to validate myself.
Exactly.
And I don't feel validation with others. So then now I'm turning it back on myself when I don't feel validated. And
correct.
It seems like I take what people say literally.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't quite understand communication with people.
Right.
So.
Right.
At a point, I thought maybe I had, like, high-level autism or something, and there's just one part of my brain that doesn't function the way other people do, that I don't understand or read people. But I was in a relationship for 25 years when I was married with a person who would turn it all around in my head. Like, they called it crazy-making. So I don't know how to un-crazy-make myself.
Okay. So let's go in. So the first thing is that you feel like you do have some mania. And that's the depression. It isn't bipolar. It doesn't feel that way to me. I'm not supposed to diagnose, but I'm going to go this way. Is that in that mania where things feel like you have this sense of control and then you don't? A lot of times people who experience mania as a depression, it literally is a clinical chemical depression. It happens to be genetic in your lineage on your mother's side and also on your father's, sweetie. So what happens is when you get into that place, then the expression for mania many times is borderline personality. They actually can go hand in hand. Not everybody that has mania has borderline, but in your particular case, that's true. Are you working with someone? I've only got a couple minutes, so excuse me if I talk fast, honey. You can listen to this in the archives.
No, it's been very hard to find someone.
Okay.
People sometimes normalize my problems or, like, anyways, long story. But
what we need to do is it would be very helpful if we could find someone who specializes in borderline, because what they can do is they can change the way that they're approaching it from not that kind of psychological aspect of borderline. They can look at it from the standpoint of it being tied to the depression and the mania. And then what they'll do is they'll actually look at it and talk to you and treat it differently. The issue with being programmed, and that's what you were, sweet, as you were programmed, is that your husband was ADD. And so he was struggling with his own ways to be able to cope with this world. And his tendency, and I don't mean to speak poorly about him, but his tendency was to be loving and then to be hurtful. And many times in borderline, it's very where we're very loving and then we can be very hurtful. And then what we do is when we're hurtful to someone else, we're being actually hurtful to ourselves. So honestly, sweetie, you've also got on top of it, you know, 20 some years that you've been programmed that this is where it is and that you're crazy. Honey, you're not crazy.
Right.
You have a chemical imbalance. If
well,
we can find a way.
I was told that as a child. What's wrong with you?
You were.
You know, all those things, and you're crazy. There's something wrong, you know, all that.
You
yeah,
absolutely. Sure. Absolutely.
It's hard to undo it.
But it can be undone. It's hard. You're right. It does take working with someone. That is true. But it can be done. So if you can find someone, I'm sorry, sweet. I'm getting close down on time.
Okay.
But what you can do is if you can find someone that can look at borderline personality disorder from a mania depression state, you're going to find out you're not crazy. You've got a chemical imbalance. We can treat it that way. That will help you cope. Using the right tools, you'll be able to move forward. So, sorry, Diane, to have to cut it short.
Oh, sweet. That's fine. Thank you.
You are welcome. You can listen to this in my archive, sweetie. It'll be posted in a couple of days on www.ritberger.com. Last thing I want to close with is it's better to do something imperfectly than doing something that doing nothing flawlessly. Better to do something imperfectly than to do nothing flawlessly. Thank you. Light and love to all of you. Have a great week. I will see you next week on the radio. Bye.
You've been listening to The Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reiberger.com. That's www.ritberger.com. See you soon.